NPR.
Janet Webster Jones is the owner of Source Booksellers, a bookstore she runs along with her daughter, Allison Jones Turner. The bookstore has been in its current location in Detroit's Midtown neighborhood since 2013, but Janet has been selling books for more than three decades. And Janet says she has always wanted Source Booksellers to be about the relationship that customers would have with the bookstore and with each other.
I didn't want a transactional business where you just, here, take the book and go. I wasn't interested in that. I thought that books and reading had a human part to it, that people wanted to talk to each other. They wanted to share with each other, or they would come and look for books together, or we would have events and so on.
And so long before the events of this year, Janet and Allison had made an important decision.
So early on, we decided not to do an online business.
But of course, not having an online business meant that when the pandemic arrived earlier this year and customers could not come inside their store, Janet and Allison were in a seemingly impossible position. How would they survive? I'm Cardiff Garcia, and this is The Indicator from Planet Money. Today on the show, in the next in our series of interviews with small business owners, a chat with Janet and Allison, the story of how they adapted and how their customers and their community rallied behind them.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft Teams. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a virtual room, collaborate live on the same page, and see up to 49 people on screen. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fundrise. Fundrise makes it easy for anyone to invest in high-quality real estate by building you a portfolio with their more than $1 billion in assets. Get started at Fundrise.com/indicator to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived.
Janet, Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. We're pleased to be here.
So why don't you start by painting a picture for us? When someone walks into Source Booksellers and looks around for the first time, what do they see?
Well, they see a lot of books.
A lot of books.
I hope so.
We have a very small store. We're under 900 square feet. We utilize the space very efficiently and very well, I think. So the two walls are lined with bookshelves, and then we have movable we call them the trees because they're sort of shaped like a pyramid and we call them trees, and they're on wheels. So we can move these shelves around to acquire different uses of the space.
We used to move them out of the way if we would have in-store events, mm-hmm. So we could have room for chairs and things like that. So they're like, where'd the books go? Mm-hmm. You know, they're just rolling over there.
Right.
Great. Yeah. And before the pandemic arrived, how would you describe your relationship with your customers? Did you have regulars? Did you enjoy interacting with customers when they came in the door? Did you recommend books? What was it like?
Absolutely. I think we've always had sort of regulars. We had a customer that we had to do a going away party, you know, when they were going away. It's like, no, we'll miss you too much. But right now we have, you know, visits from customers that just kind of can't stay away, but are being as safe as they can to still talk and communicate with us.
Yeah. And going into the pandemic, how would you describe how business was going right before, say, in January or February of this year?
Okay, so we were doing pretty well. We had been in this space for 8 years. In fact, I paid all the bills of March up until the last about $1,500 worth. So when the shutdown order came along from our governor, that was to happen on a Monday. But when Monday came, it was like a curtain had dropped. And we were shocked, to say the least. And I thought, what's going to happen? How are we going to get it was like that. It was like jerky. So we couldn't figure out quite what to do. But my daughter, Allison, quickly moved us onto a online platform. And while she was doing that, I was scrambling to find grants or figure out what else we could do. So it was a shaky time. And I know I knew it would not be wise to close the business, even though people were doing that. And I said it was easier to shutter the door than to close the business. So that's where we were.
When you say that the curtain came down, do you mean that like the government said that you couldn't have people inside, or was it just that people stopped coming?
No, it's just that people were not allowed to come. And so we didn't have sales because of their absence, because we would basically just have in-store sales.
Yeah, and I know that you did adapt and you started doing online sales. And I'm wondering if in those early months, was there any point in time when you worried, oh my God, we might not make it, we might go out of business if things don't pick up?
Well, I think one of the unique things about, I don't know if it's just with Black businesses or just our business, that when we started, we didn't have any feeling of it's going to work
or money.
So it's just movement going.
Yes.
And the mission may continue. And so it was more like that.
But I was totally sure that we would not close the business. We have had times in the past when we've had to change and do things differently and become better businesses. And this is another time where we've had to change, pivot, and be a different kind and better business. And when I say better, serving the community, serving our customers, serving people now across the whole country, because people are calling in and all of that, because that's what they're doing now. So we had a couple of grants, and we had unexpectedly and without requesting, checks came from some very loyal customers who wanted to see us continue. So that was like cry time to do that.
Oh, that's a beautiful story. So there were customers that were looking out for you in a way because they wanted you to make it.
And then there were other organizations around the area, the Detroit Economic Development Corporation, the Tech Town, and our Any Ideas. All of these are local places, funding places that offered grants. And so those are the things that we applied for, and we were able to.
In March.
In April, March 1st and in April. And I think we got a small grant. But that's how we stayed alive. And then people responded to our online sales, so much so that every time we sent a package out, we sent them a little bag of tea and a chocolate. This was so grateful.
We're like, thank you so much.
As a little thank you.
As a little big thank you and a little something. But and even now, sometimes we throw a little bag of green deep tea into their package. The other part of that is that doing business in a new and different way, mostly online, phone calls, emails, and somebody's even asking us to do things on the Instagram now, is changing what the needs are for employment in the store. I never thought about that until just really recently. I said, you know, we have to figure out what it is we really do need. We do need help, but we have to figure out what help we need now that was different than before.
Yeah. And my last question is, if the two of you have any words of advice or inspiration for other small business owners who are struggling in what's been a really devastating year for the economy, for how they can be resilient and make it through.
Well, I think business in general is a thing that we do where we take risk. And we don't know what our risk tolerance is until things happen.
Well, I think it's being flexible, finding out what's needed and try to meet that. And be as appreciative and as, I guess,
grateful
with as much humor as we can.
Yeah.
Because it is tough. Mm-hmm. And it's not just tough for us, it's tough for everybody.
And I think we just have to take our courage and move on, use the opportunities that we have that have come to us from people to serve them as they need to be served, and just keep on going.
Janet Allison, thank you so much for your time today. This was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Special thanks to PBS NewsHour, whose profile of source booksellers is how we found out about Janet and Allison. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Jamila Huxtable, fact-checked by Sean Saldana, and edited by Patty Hirsch. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Writer Baratunde Thurston says this democracy experiment requires more than just voting.
This is incumbent on all of us. It takes two. Right? It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to knock it out of sight. And both parties in a national level discourse, both sides have to still remain committed.
How to be a good citizen. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.